Hello, and welcome to Songs for the Struggling Artist, the blogcast. This is episode 398.
What?
Two more to go till we hit 400. Well, I guess, yeah. Anyway, that's my name is Emily Rainbow Davis, and you are listening to this blogcast, in which I will say a few things, then I'll read you the blog of the week, and then I will play you a song, and that is how it goes. Today's blog was inspired by a social media post a friend of mine made about her experience around putting on a show on Zoom. Some of you may be aware of my feelings about Zoom, but the person that my friend was responding to was not me, in case you were worried. It's not. This is called, I Don't Do Zoom. A friend of mine has developed a show to be performed on Zoom. It's an innovative concept, and she's doing that innovating in a form where people don't necessarily expect to see innovation. She asked someone to attend this show, and they said, I don't do Zoom. Which understandably got under my friend's skin a little bit. It's a little like someone saying they don't go to the theater when you give them a postcard for your show in a theater. Now, the truth is, I don't do Zoom either, if I can help it. But I would never say that to someone inviting me to their Zoom show. They don't need that information or need to have it delivered like that. For me, I wish it were not so, but almost every Zoom I've ever had has ended with me sobbing on the floor or in bed with a migraine. I've been in Zoom shows, watched Zoom shows, had Zoom rehearsals, Zoom meetings, and Zoom parties, and the experience has always been more or less the same. And weirdly, the more fun the activity is, the more acute my response. I wish it were not so, but it is, unfortunately, the case for me. Everyone thinks their show or their meeting or their rehearsal will be the exception, but unfortunately, it's not the content for me, just the format. It's weird. I know it's weird, but a pattern is a pattern. I've probed it, investigated it, and the pattern tends to hold. But the fact that I personally cannot happily engage with Zoom doesn't mean I don't notice when someone is doing extraordinary things with the form. Making stuff on Zoom is hard. It's like making a movie or multiple movies and a play at the same time. It's very difficult. But I still think people should do it. Not me, of course. I get enough migraines as it is. But I do think it is incredibly important for artists to take hold of new forms and make new art out of them. I'm incredibly proud of my friend. I'm an advocate for it, even if I can't watch it myself. Creating work on Zoom opens up space to a radical accessibility. It can include people who are not able to leave their homes, which is something historically theater has been unable to do. Side note, back in the early days of my theater company, we used to joke about doing something called PJ theater, where we imagined we'd go to someone's bedroom to put on a show so they wouldn't have to leave their beds. Zoom is pretty close to that. Zoom can also reach beyond geographical boundaries and connect with people around the world. It's a means to create a global theater. I love that. But of course, even the most inclusive format can still exclude some people. Not everyone can stomach Zoom, and for some it triggers some pandemic PTSD, but I feel like people like me are probably in the minority. And it's important to innovate in this form and to serve the people who aren't like me. It is important and meaningful work to do. I feel like I can relate to my friend's experience of the I don't do Zoom person because I get similar responses when I tell people about my podcasts. There are a lot of people out there who have never listened to a podcast, and a lot of them are not likely to. Only 38% of Americans have listened to a podcast in the last month. It may seem like everyone has a podcast, but not everyone is interested in listening to them. I have taken several people's phones and physically subscribed them to my podcasts, and still, I suspect that they haven't listened. There are people out there, people I love, who just don't listen to audio. It's not just that they don't know how to listen to a podcast. They don't listen to the radio either, or even music. They just don't love to engage with stuff through their ears, I guess. They are never going to listen to my audio dramas, no matter how much they love me. I'm learning how to not take that personally. It's not me. It's the format. In recent years, I've mostly been making audio, though, so I thought, hey, for our next one, we should do it live so that the people who prefer the theater bit can come and have the live theater experience. But so few people came, I'm not sure I believe the I prefer live theater people anymore. In the four performances, spread out over 4 months, we sold maybe 10 tickets. I had two friends come out to see it. Contrast that with the 673 podcast plays we've had on the audio drama so far. One of these things has a much larger reach than the other. Theater has become more and more expensive to make. It is prohibitively difficult to produce as an indie maker. On top of that, it has become vastly more difficult to get audiences to come out for things. I had two friends come to see our show. Thank you, friends. But most people involved with our show had zero friends come, even with the most liberal comp policy you can imagine. Part of the reason that my friend turned to Zoom to produce her show is that it is affordable. You don't have to rent a theater to put a show up online. Theaters cost a lot of money to rent. The affordability factor is true for me and audio as well. Putting up shows that very few people are going to come to is very expensive and involves a lot more annoying fundraising emails. Theater is my first love. But at the moment, it is almost impossible to make in its usual form. For theater to work, you have to have an audience. And when audiences stop coming, you have to expect that makers are going to migrate to other forms, some of which you, or journalists, might not like. I was told by a theater journalist that theater journalists won't cover podcasts. I'd be upset about it, except that theater journalists rarely covered my theater in recent years either, so no real loss there. Anyway, when someone pitches you a show in a new form, maybe applaud them for it, even if you know you'll never go there. I understand the impulse to try and explain that it's not personal, that you just don't do whatever the form is. But I'm not sure telling me you don't like audio or telling my friend you don't do Zoom helps much. In the big scheme of things, most people don't come to our shows, and they never tell us why. But people who do come to our shows, who tell us why they came, and if we're very lucky, tell us they enjoyed it, those are some adventurers in new media and our arts heroes. So this post was born because I saw my friend's social media post, saw that her friend had said, I don't do Zoom, felt like, oh, I could have said that. I didn't say it, but I could have, because I don't do Zoom. But I, again, would not say it to someone who was doing a Zoom show. In any case, I saw her social media post and like, I kept thinking like, should I comment? What should I say? I don't know. And I had so much to say about it. It had to be a blog post. So This is what I did and do instead of commenting on contentious social media. Because also, like, I have to check myself fairly often where, like, I start to respond to something and I, you know, even will type out a couple sentences like, oh, my God, but I don't do Zoom either, but I feel bad and I'm sorry that hurt your feelings and blah, blah, blah. And then I realize, like, oh, no matter what I put here, I am not going to be able to adequately express what it is. Like, I can't. If it's contentious, like, I'm going to worry about it. It's not worth it. Anyway, in this case, I thought I'd write a blog post instead, which is what I did. So here it is. And it did help me to think about, like, oh, right, all the people who don't listen to podcasts and who tell me they don't listen to podcasts when I say I have a podcast. In fact, I have four. And then they go, oh, everybody has a podcast these days. Yeah, thanks. That feels great. Appreciate it. Anyway, I know you all listen to podcasts, and I am so grateful for you. Just like top line gratitude over here. Seriously. Oh, boy. I don't love a podcast joke, you know, because the podcast joke is usually like, everybody has a podcast bros. Those are the two jokes and that's it. Like, if it were meaningful, like, I love a podcast, parody. Oh, for example, if you would like to listen to an hilarious podcast, what do we call that? Satire. This Sounds Serious is so good. If you've not, I'm sure I've recommended it before, but it is delightful. The first season, especially, it has a very serial-like quality, but is also hilarious. So check that out. That's good podcast humor. Anyway, so what song shall I give you? Well, I was suggested two songs. No, I was suggested one. it's called Shake Your Rump, and it goes, all I want to do is zoom, 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 in a boom, boom, just shake your rump. But that's about as much as I can do of it that it might be interesting after that. Like, what are we doing? I also looked up the chords for Zoom, the Zoom song from the Zoom television program. I don't know if that made it internationally, but here it was a Boston-based public television program. Totally delightful television program featuring a bunch of, like, sort of just normal kids, feels like. Dancing around, doing magic tricks. Anyway, they had a song that goes, I wanna zoom, 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 zoom. I wanna zoom, 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 zoom. And there are no chords available on the internet for that. And also the theme song changed every year because the cast would change every year. So I'm not sure which version of the Zoom song I would do. And fundamentally, this blog is not actually about Zoom so much as just like adapting to new media. So what I decided to do was learn Video Killed the Radio Star, which is, you know, about that sort of shift in media. And famously, MTV aired it as the first video on MTV. So it did, in fact, did it kill the radio star? Not technically, no, we still had radio, but there is some irony in there, absolutely. Anyway, so I'm going to play you Video Killed the Radio Star in just a little moment here, but meanwhile, thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world to me, and perhaps as is evident by this particular blog, there are a lot of people who don't. And never will. And, you know, there's a lot of people who never come to a show either. So, like, it's not just new media. It's old stuff, too. People who won't read a book, people who won't listen to music, you know, Everybody has their thing. It's fine. But in any case, I am grateful for you. And if you would like to support this endeavor, that would be amazing. You can like, review, subscribe in your various podcast apps. You could also support this with your dollars. We have patreon.com/EmilyRDavis. There's Ko-fi. There's PayPal. Any of those options will work. There's also a Substack. And if you have another platform that you prefer, just let me know what it is and I will join up. I think that is all on the business front, except to say thank you again for your ears. So, Video Killed the Radio Star. Interestingly, a lot of men have covered the song, but I didn't find any women covering it. There were versions by Ben Folds Five. There's a version by the Presidents of the United States of America and another band that I did not know and I can't remember the name of, but also dudes. So here is a lady version of Video Killed the Radio Star. I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake content at tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Oh, oh.
They took the credit for your second symphony, rewritten by machine on new technology. And now I understand the problems you could see.
Oh, oh.
I met your children.
Oh.
What did you tell them? Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. Pictures came and broke your heart. Oh, And now we meet in an abandoned studio. We hear the playback and it seems so long ago. And you remember the jingles used to go. You were the first one.
Oh, oh.
You were the last one. Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. In my mind and in my car. We can't rewind, we've gone too far. Oh, 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 oh. Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. In my mind and in my car. We can't rewind, we've gone too far. Pictures came and broke your heart. Put the blame on the VCR. You are. Video.